Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned on to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I can hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so excited that you have joined me again today at home. We are looking for another glorious, glorious lesson on today. And I have a special guest that's going to be here with me on today. And my guest for today is going to be Prophetess Vivica Nash. And we're going to be talking about some great things that is getting ready to come forward here over this next coming weekend. And I tell you, this anointed woman of God, you're going to be tremendously blessed. I'm going to go ahead and just read her bio on this afternoon, and we're going to invite her right in, and we're going to just move forward. Prophetess Vivica Alexis Nash is a member of Shekinah Glory Tabernacle up under the leadership of Dr. Helen Orme. Recently, she moved to Washington State back in June on the 8th in 2011 from the beautiful city of Las Vegas. Prophetess Nash is known as a true prophet of God, a preacher and a teacher of God's own word. She also believed in the preservation of sound doctrine and is known for her singing as well as her teaching. She has also organized and established four youth and children churches that continue to strive and thrive even right now. Prophetess Nash has trained up many young people up in ministry that are now pastors as well as minister, which is a testament of her labor of love in Zion. Prophetess Nash is also known for the days of Trent Revival, Trent Revival 30 with this new fellowship. And out of that fellowship, Prophetess Nash did a gathering of the Eagle Conference where she put together a team of apostles as well as prophets in a dynamic prophetic conference. Also, Lily Among Thorns was another conference was for ladies where all were come together in a private session for even for some of the first ladies or pastors' wives. For Men's Day, Prophetess Nat had a Return to Glory, God's Glory Conference, where several pastors attended to be ministered to as well. Prophetess Nat also served the community by going to the nursing homes on a regular basis and taking children from their children's church to the nurse's home to minister unto those sick and shut in. Prophetess Nash also saw many miracles in the hospital as she went there to pray for sick on every Saturday. Not only in ministry has God have used her greatly, but also as a mother. And also God has blessed her recently to be able to visit her child's school at Meadow Ridge Elementary, where she was able to speak to the youth at that time. But most of all, Prophetess Nash is known for a woman who loves Jesus and loves to work in the ministry of Zion. And I also like to say, Prophetess Nash is a woman who has a beautiful, excellent spirit that loves God and the people of God and loves to do things in the spirit of excellence. At this time, without any further ado, I like to introduce to some and present to others none other than Prophetess Vivica Alexis Nash. Welcome on, Prophetess Nash.
Thank you, Apostle, so very much for the warm welcome.
Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. We do thank God for you being here with me on today. And the Lord has blessed you to do so many wonderful things in the city, even as you may have been here just a short time, but as well from the state of Las Vegas and things, Nevada, that you was able to do a lot of great things there as well. But I would like you, for you today, if you would just share with us some of the things that you have been doing over the course of the last perhaps maybe 3 to 4 weeks of a great undertaking that you're getting ready to do.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Apostle Orm. I'm truly honored to be here on the air with you today and to talk about what has been happening over these last 3 weeks. We have been working diligently with the youth at our very own church, Shekinah Glory Tabernacle, as well as the youth at the Jesus Center Freedom Church, which is located in West Seattle. And what we're doing is where history is being made, because we're merging the youth together. They're coming together, praise God, in fellowship. And what we're doing is preparing for our Resurrection Day celebration, which will be held on Saturday, the day before Resurrection Sunday.
Yes, and that's going to be the pre-resurrection service that you're having and gearing up with the church. And I've just been really just tremendously blessed by all of the work and the labor that you have gone and did in this particular glorious session that's going to be taking place in just a couple of days. The youth are fired up and excited about it, and the young people are really excited about it. And we have been seeing just the anointing. Could you share with us about the anointing that is just hovering over and just being exuded throughout this whole process?
Amen. Well, one thing that we... and myself, what I instill in our children and in our youth is that we don't want to just be up there doing a dance or doing a song. We have to have the presence of the Lord. And in order to have his presence, we have to get in the Spirit. And so throughout this process, our youth, our children, they're learning what it means to be a prepared vessel, to go before God and to come before God's people, that they must go through a time of preparation. I'm very proud of our youth because of the fact that even during these days of purification, they have been purifying themselves. We have not expected them to go the full length of fasting. However, they have been doing their part in fasting. Mm-hmm. And then, amen. And I know that God honors that. And so because of their openness, their love for God, their willingness, and their tenderness towards the Spirit of God, he just blesses them, and they're learning what it means to have their body as an instrument or a tool in God's hand for worship and honor. Amen. That their bodies are being used as an instrument of worship, not which separates them from a worldly dance.
Yeah,
that separates them from a worldly song, that their body is an instrument in the hand of God. Amen. And that's the foundation that we're laying with the children in our youth.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm so excited that you are making the distinction, because even God said to put a difference between clean and unclean. And I thank God that you're sharing with them the importance of, you know, their bodies being that instruments that God can use, and that they're just not going to be dancing, but they're allowing God to use their body to worship him and offer worship unto him and things. That is so wonderful of what you are doing. Now, could you share just a few, just maybe without giving it all away, just a few highlights? And please, we're waiting for that day. We don't want to go before the curtains being pulled and things, but if you can just whet our little appetite even more and things like that, some of the great things that we perhaps may be getting ready to partake thereof.
Amen, amen. Well, one of the highlights of this worship experience is the dedication of their holy garments, their garments. Both churches are stepping into brand new garments, and that comes with the new beginning, amen, and what God is birthing out of them. And so what we're doing in their preparation, we're taking the garments, and everything that the youth and children will be using for service is going before the Lord on the altar. Amen, because we want those garments and instruments to be blessed and to be anointed. We want them to understand that these garments are unto the Lord. So even in handling them, amen, they're to be mindful that this is what God has given me as a part of my worship. Amen. And so that's going to be one of the highlights as they all come before you as our pastor, amen, and the other clergy, amen. They'll be presented. It's a coming out for them. It's a coming out and a shooting forth and a new beginning into what they're getting ready to step in. They're now understanding that they are ministers, yeah, that they have a ministry of dance, a ministry of worship, a ministry of singing. And so they're being released just like an adult preparing for the office of a pastor or evangelist or teacher, coming before the clergy and the clergy standing before them, you know, to let them know that we're with you. We honor what you're doing, and are you ready for the call? Amen. And yes, that is going to be a very emotional time for all of us. It's going to be very special, and we're all just tremendously grateful for this opportunity for them to be able to have this great experience.
And also, Prophetess Nash, I want to say I really do appreciate how the Lord is using and flowing through you, as well as how you are teaching and sharing with the children of to highly esteem the things that are holy. And I believe that that is something that we as the children of God, we cannot lightly esteem whatever part that we're playing in the plan of God, the mind of God, the purpose of God, as we holding and handling holy things. Even our praises unto God is a holy thing and a sacred thing, that as we render that up to them, and then to be able to teach the young people, the children, how to esteem the things that are holy is such a beautiful thing, because now we're living in such a time as this where all of the holy things, the things that are holy and sacred, the world want to desecrate and things and make it come to a common thing. When it's not a common thing, it's a holy thing. And when it has been delivered into the hands of the children of God. And I'm so glad that God have a remnant of people who still yet esteem the things of God as holy, as opposed to just coming in and just doing it. And things, whether it is sweeping the floor, whether it's singing, whether it is attending to the sacred paper or the sacred administration, it still yet must be guarded and held as a holy thing before the Lord our God and things. And so I really do appreciate your passion for the call of what God has given unto you to also to impart that, and I feel and I hear impartation and things that you have imparted into the lives of the children, the things that are holy, imparting that and allowing them to identify what is holy and to how to handle the holy oracles, even in their songs, even in their worship. They will be also handling the holy oracles of God and to ask them the question, are you ready for that mandate or that mantle? Is something that is awesome as well, because we don't want our children or no one to come into it and lightly esteem that which God has done and doing in their life. That's profound. That's profound.
Thank you, Apostle. I just glorify the Lord. And I thank you for even bringing it out even more so, how important it is for us to hallow that. And I believe that also is tying in with the theme of Shekinah glory,
yes,
and where God has Shekinah glory and flowing in that and hallowing and reverencing even the name of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And one thing I have been telling our youth as we continue to gather, I've been telling them that there's so much carnality in the world. And even we see carnality in the churches, amen. And
yes,
it's time to bring that back, to bring back the reverence of holiness.
Yes.
And even with, like you said, making the distinction
yes.
with the things that we use for his service.
Yes.
And even esteeming those things as being holy, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it teaches them to be more responsible.
Mm-hmm.
It's teaching them to be more responsible. They're thinking, oh, you know, I can't just do anything anymore. I can't just, no, I'm a leader. So we're raising up leaders
mm-hmm.
from the youngest to the oldest. You know, they're being raised up to be leaders.
Wonderful, and that is so profound. And I believe you're right where God wants you to be and where, for the children. And then there's another layer or another piece to this all, that how the both of the churches has come together and a birthing of this new thing and things, and how they're coming and synergizing together and allowing God to bless our children and to raise up a remnant of people who are loving the Lord and leaders that are teaching and training the children of the things that of holiness and righteousness. And I think that that's another area that it can get so lost in of the day and the time where people want to do it their way but don't want to adhere to God's way and things, because God did say make a distinction, and even in our garments make a distinction. You know, it's okay to come, you know, but then there's a time that we got to enter in and put on those holy garments and come in and know that this garment that I have is coming before my King, it's coming before my Lord and things. I'm not just going to wear my everyday clothes, but I'm coming before God in a preparatory way and things, so that they can understand why it is important to make a difference in the distinction between even the things that we wear. Amen. The things that I wear to school may be different than the things that I wear in the house of the Lord, because I'm coming before the holiness and the righteousness of my God. Yes, you can do whatever you want to do, but when we come in before the holiness and the righteousness of God, we don't want to come any kind of way and things and stuff. But yes, he will receive us. But then too, someone said something to me a long time ago. He said, you know, come as you are, but then too, God don't want you to stay as you are.
Amen, Apostle.
Because he's trying to bring us to that higher place and things, to be able to enter in and ascend into the places of the holy places of God and the supernatural, which he's releasing among his people. And so I want to say again, teaching them at that young age is such a tremendous blessing in things. So profound in things. But I wanted to know if you could, Prophetess, if you could say something to share two things that I'm going to ask of you to do, if you don't mind. Number one, I'm going to ask if you don't mind sharing a word or what's in your heart for the people that are coming into or having their young people and things, to encourage the young leaders and things, and then those that are training the young leaders up. And then after you share that, then I'll come back with my second thought.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you so much, Dr. Orm. Thank you. I would like to encourage those who are already working with our young people, the youth and the children. One thing I would like to say is that you must have a love and a passion for them. That's how this works. It's a love work. Amen. And everything, every particle, everything connected to this work is based on nothing but pure love. And that love, it hides a multitude of sin. And that love, it wants to provoke them to come up to a higher standard of excellence. That love would want to make sure that they have a clear understanding of sound teaching, sound doctrine. Amen. That love will give you leaders the patience you know, just to explain things in a way that our young people and our children can understand. Amen. It is a love-driven ministry. Praise God. And it's also a ministry that is built on T-R-U-S-T, trust. Amen. Because of the fact that these young people are coming to us, amen, and they have to be able to trust us. They have to be able to know that they can come to us when they need us and that we won't judge them in their frailties or in their weaknesses. Another thing I would like to say is that when I'm dealing with the youth and even with the smaller children, I deal with them how God sees them. The future preacher, the evangelist, the teacher. I don't, even with my own children, when we're doing ministry, I deal with them as ministers of the Lord. I'm not mommy at that time. I am Prophetess Nash. I'm their, you know, the voice of God, giving them godly instruction. And so, you know, we have to handle our youth and children in that manner and not handle them like kids. Or, you know, that's a word that we use, kids. No, they're a holy nation, a chosen generation, a priesthood coming forth. And that's how, that's the part of them that we want to speak into. No yes. matter what we see on the outside, we want to speak to that priest, that prophet, that evangelist, that pastor, that teacher. Amen. And cause that in them to be thou awakened. Amen. Amen. So that they can come into their true identity. Because the world has already marked them. The world has already said, you know, put them in labels on them. So we as leaders have to strip them of those carnal labels that the world said, amen, and speak to them, speak to what God said, who God said that they are, and allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate that in them and let it come forth in Jesus' name.
Wow.
Amen.
So yes. profound. And I really do appreciate you saying that because we had a young lady who was just profound in poetry and how she read one of her poetic, her poem, and she said something that was so striking that when in the whole church, it was like a gasp, oh, my God, and things. And she said this that was really an eye-opener and made us to come and sit on the edge of our seat and then sit back and really take note. She said, after you sung your song, she said, don't you see me? Can't you speak to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that was just so mm-hmm. profound that how she brought it out, and that's paraphrasing it. But it allowed us to come to a realization that they're saying we're here.
Yes.
And we are somebody, and we are significant. Don't you notice that? And I want to say I really do appreciate what you just said just a few minutes ago, that we have to shift our mindset and see them as that preacher and seeing them as that prophet, that evangelist, as opposed to seeing them as kids or young people and things as what we have categorized them as in our mind and things like that. But that was just very, very, very profound what you said and share to us even as leaders how that we can come at it in a new mindset, in a new way to be able to speak to their future and to what God is calling them to do and to be, and then also to seek the mind of God as to who they are in Him.
Yes. Yes.
So that we can speak His language upon them and speak to their divine destiny as opposed to speaking to young people.
Amen.
Profound.
Amen.
Profound. Now, this is what I would like for you to do, if you don't mind. And if pre-adventure, God has something in your spirit just to prophetically to speak to anybody that may be listening at this particular time. I just want to give you this moment, this time to minister to Radio Land and to share with them, you know, a word from the Lord and things, whatever God has been placing in your heart for His people, that you would just share that with them now, because we're living in a lot of perplexing time, And during this time, we just wanted to send a word to comfort the hearts and the mind of God's people. And then finally, if you will pray for God's people.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. As we are embarking on this Resurrection Day weekend, Resurrection Weekend, amen, and we're reflecting on Jesus and what he did and what he has spoken, and even the time when he was speaking unto his Father before going to the cross. One thing that Jesus said, and I want to speak this word into the hearts of the parents, those of you out there, mothers, grandmothers, amen, that have wayward children or children that you've labored with, you love them, but they're not quite coming up to the standard that you desire them to come into. You might feel like your labor's in vain, but even Jesus told the Father this when he was in the garden. He said that he was talking to the Father about all of these that the Father had given him. And Jesus said, I haven't lost not a one. I haven't lost none of them, Father, except for the son of perdition. And we know who that was, Judas, that betrayed Jesus. Amen. And that same word, it was good yesterday, it stands today, and that word stands forevermore. That all of these that Jesus was given, mm-hmm. amen, he has not lost not a one. I'm prophesying to you mothers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, amen. Not a one has been lost. You just have to take the stand for righteousness, amen. And through you, your household will be saved, amen. Women, your children are sanctified through you. Hallelujah. Fathers, you being sanctified, your household is sanctified through you. And not one has been lost. They may look lost. Amen. It may look like they're not paying attention. It may seem as if your labor hasn't been in vain. But your labor has not been in vain. Not a one of them will be lost. And they're not lost. Amen, because you've taken a stand for righteousness. Hallelujah. And even as Jesus said, not one of these have I lost except the son of perdition. So what I'm saying is that celebrate. Amen. When you're with your children, I prophesy, and I'm speaking to you a word of wisdom. Hallelujah. And wisdom is saying, take that time to just love them where they're at. Hallelujah. Love them where they're at, because not a one shall be lost. You just keep being the light. You just keep living that light and life before them. Amen. Not a one shall be lost. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody needs to lift their hands up unto the Father and say, not a one of my children shall be lost. Not a one. Not a one. The devil can't have not a one of them. They shall not be lost. God has a set time for them to come in. He has a set day, and he has a divine purpose for our children. So I just want to encourage you out